Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Dear Nancy and Bob, Jennifer, Nicole, and my dear friends in Christ. Don't know how to say this, so I think I'm just going to come right out and put it there. Fred was a stubborn man. I actually do mean this in a good way. I didn't know him long, but I knew him pretty well. Because you could see exactly who he was each and every time he stepped foot into this church. And I say stubborn because Fred, even as he grew weaker over the last years, tried to insist on one very special thing. To walk himself up to this altar, to reach out his hands, and to take communion. The day he couldn't do that anymore was a sad day for him, I know. Fred knew the way that he was going, and that was to the front of the church. It's not really because he was stubborn, I should say, but because he knew a basic and a simple truth, that at this communion rail, in the Lord's Supper, Fred would be united with Christ in his body and blood each and every time. And because Fred was in Christ, part of the body of Christ, of him who saved him, Fred would be reunited with his beloved bride, Betty. Even if for a brief moment, a brief foretaste of the eternity they would share together in Christ. In fact, the last time I visited Fred before he died, I brought him communion. He was very thankful that day for it. He was thankful to receive the great gift that comes in the Lord's Supper. And by the end of it, remembering that it's a foretaste of the feast to come, remembering that it is the promise of the resurrection from the dead, at the end of it, Fred was crying. He wasn't crying tears of sadness. They weren't there lamenting over his condition. He was in pain, yes. His legs were swollen, yes. And things were difficult. But Fred was crying for a very different reason. His Lord had come to him in that moment. And that's a blessed gift. Fred was a man of great faith, confident in his Lord. And that's not by Fred's own doing, but by the will of the Father. That Fred would trust in the Lord and serve for us as an example of faith. He did take the Lord's words, "Let not your hearts be troubled," well to heart. When he and I would speak of what was to come, there was no fear there for fear's sake. I think when it comes down to it, we're all afraid of death. That's not really it. We don't like pain. That's okay. Fred knew that, but Fred never doubted that his Lord would save him through his death. He knew that when he died, and honestly I can say that neither one of us thought it would be as soon as it was, that he would go to the place prepared for him. He believed in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so also should we. That's what Fred would want. We speak often of his love for Betty. And what an example it is for us that over 60 years they lived in some sort of marital bliss, mostly because of Betty. But Fred's love for Betty paled in comparison to his love for Jesus. Jesus saved him. Jesus lived for him. Jesus died for him. Jesus resurrected for him. Jesus ascended for him. And Jesus went to prepare a place for Fred. Through Jesus, Fred has found eternal life. For only Jesus is the way to do such a thing. And only Jesus is the source of life everlasting. This is what Fred died believing. And he wants you to believe it too. And I say wants, not wanted, but wants. Because Fred is not dead, but merely sleeping. I know we've seen his body laid out before us, and that's the consequence to sin. That's the sign that Fred was not a perfect man, because the wages of sin is death. But when Fred took his last breath in this life, I tell you the truth, he opened his eyes to see his Jesus there welcoming him into life eternal, eternal rest. Fred was taken to be with his Lord, and now he awaits for the resurrection. He awaits with all of the saints in heaven for the resurrection. He awaits with Betty for the resurrection. When this body before us today is going to be made whole and new, and Fred's soul will be joined with it once again, and he there will live forever in the new creation, a perfect creation, a creation never to die again. And that is what Fred wants for us as well. He and Betty both stand ready, waiting for that day when our Lord will return in judgment, and he shall sit over you and over me. And if we are in him, if we have believed in him, Jesus will declare you to be righteous for his own sake. And then you shall be welcome to live with him and with Fred and with Betty for all eternity. You see, Fred knows a basic and simple truth. If you desire to live forever, you must believe in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to live forever, you must be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, washed in his blood in the waters of baptism. Fred knows a basic and simple truth that Jesus is the Lord of all creation, and that Jesus picked Fred and redeemed him just as he picked you and redeemed you. Today, even amidst our sorrow, and really the overwhelming loss that we must feel knowing that Fred is not here now, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Christ. For he has gone to prepare a place for you, and he will come again to take you to where he is, that where he is, you may be forever with Fred, with Betty, and with all those who have died in the love of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.